So our verse for this morning is Proverbs 4:23. So while you're turning there, I'll just say a few opening thoughts. We aren't obviously able to cleanse our own hearts, right? The Bible says, who can say I've made my heart clean in Proverbs 20, okay? But today's verse is going to tell us to keep our hearts, okay? So the questions are this morning, I guess, opening up, is how is your heart with God this morning? Like the description of some of the Old Testament kings, is your heart perfect with the Lord, your God? Maybe some of you are unsure where your heart is this morning, and for others, your heart could just be broken. Or you could have a hard heart, or you could just feel numb, perhaps. Okay, but whatever your condition, you know, I don't need to apologize when I say I can't help you one bit. Okay, but there is a God in heaven, like Daniel said, and he can give you an answer of peace. So this morning, I just intend to point to the Savior and say, look and live. Okay, so you're already in Proverbs 4. Let's read that and then we're going to pray. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, I pray that you would just open up your word to us this morning, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Sometimes our hearts can be full of different things, Lord, that we can't hear what it is that you have to say or maybe even understand it, Lord. But I pray that you would just enlighten our eyes this morning, Lord, as we open up your word and behold wondrous things, as your word says, Lord. And I pray, Lord, like I already prayed earlier, Lord, that you would just do a work that only you can do because we need you desperately, Father. So I just pray for a blessing now, and I pray that you would help us all to just draw close to you this morning. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're talking about the heart this morning, and I suppose we all understand the idea of heart health. All right, so I'm not going to start talking to you about, you know, your diet and how that affects your heart or your exercise and things like that. But I was thinking about one verse, you know, it says in 1 Timothy, it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Okay, and by saying that, I don't say to the guys to stop working out and going to the gym and all that. But it puts it in perspective as far as, like, we spend all this time looking after our physical heart, but how much more our spiritual heart, okay? So what am I talking about when I talk about that heart? It's a huge topic, and I don't, you know, assume to be able to sum it up in a couple of sentences here, but this is some stuff I learned when I looked it up. So this heart that I'm talking about, your spiritual heart, is, someone said, it's the home of the personal life. I thought that was a really interesting description. It's a place where you're truly yourself. Like further on in Proverbs, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, okay? And it's the center of your being where many core parts of you overlap, your desires, your conscience, your mind and will, okay? If any of you guys have done the discipleship, you know, pastor has this, you know, he talks about the body, soul, and the spirit, and he's got a circle for the body, and then next to it and joining in with it is a circle for the soul, and circling again is the heart, and then right in the center, where all those three circles join together, and that's like the center of you, all right? So I thought that was an interesting description, okay? So we're in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs teaches that the heart is the source of your thoughts, words, actions, feelings, whether good or bad, okay? I don't know if you know the verse already, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it, okay? And that's why it says later on in Proverbs, Proverbs has a lot to say about the heart. Actually, the Bible has tons to say about the heart, but it says in Proverbs 28, he that trusts it in his own heart is a fool. Okay, so basically disregard every Disney movie that you've seen. Follow your heart, you know, this kind of stuff, okay? It's foolish to do because our heart can lead us in all sorts of directions, yeah. All right? So because the heart is where our affections and passions rest, it's also the place that we worship from. I thought that was interesting. If you turn to Luke 12, keep your finger in Proverbs 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke 12. Luke 12. Jesus talking about, you know, further back, rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. But in verse 34, Luke 12, 34, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So something is like a heart thing for you. Obviously, there's a lot of, I don't know, emotional investment in that or whatever. When someone goes to a match and they love their soccer team or whatever, there's a lot of heart exclamations that come out of that. They're going for their team, that kind of thing. I don't know how best to describe it, but it's somewhere where we worship from, and that's why we need to be careful of idolatry, because those kind of things that we set up in our heart, that we allow to take root, Jesus warns us about that, but, because God needs to be loved with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? So as Christians, we're actually encouraged to do everything from the heart, okay? If you go, maybe we shouldn't, or we'll turn there. We're in Luke, we're almost there. Colossians 3. Might as well look in your Bible this morning. That's what we're here for, right? Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." So there's the heartily word there, and I'm just going to back that up with Ephesians 6:6. He's talking about, serving. Or it says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Okay, so we're encouraged to do things with the heart. And Jesus also points out that when we do something without heart, it's a form of being disingenuous, you know, to a point. Okay. So if you go back to Matthew 15, most of the time we do things from the heart, but there are times when we don't. And Jesus is, 15:8, he's talking about hypocrites. Hypocrites, especially in the church, and he's saying, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Okay, so they're being deceitful in a sense. They might look to people like they've got it together and like they're worshiping God, and that they love Him, but it says here, they're all of that's just a big show, and their heart is far from where God is. Okay, so these are some of the things. That we're going to come across today, I suppose. So I hope you still had Proverbs 4 up and running in one hand there. So when I read Proverbs 4 there, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So ultimately, this verse is saying here, all the issues of life that we face, that all of the situations we find ourselves in, are born in the heart. Okay, whether yours or someone else's. I might get into that. So I've heard this phrase, and I saw someone made a song out of it too. It says, "The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart." Okay. So I'll just mention some situations here. They're just made up, any likenesses or whatever, you know, or purely coincidental. So I have here, Tyler is trying to decide whether to accept a job offer up the country. His heart will influence what he sees as pros and cons of accepting or not accepting this job. Okay. So, you know, decisions are made in our heart, whether to move away. Let's say this guy's going to struggle with all those things, and he's going to ponder those things in his heart, whether it's good for him or not, okay? So Katie is wrestling with what to do after an unexpected pregnancy. Heart decisions she has already made have got her into the situation, and now she needs to make her next choices with the very same heart. Jamie is finding it hard to keep forgiving his brother, who doesn't seem to care about anyone but himself, but Jamie's heart will not only decide what to do or how... but justify his decision based on his own ideas of good and bad, okay? So you see how the moral framework is in our heart as well, and so on. You know, insert whatever issues you have, our circumstances, our decisions you've been landed with currently, okay? All of those issues arise out of the heart, okay? But I would further go on and say that God isn't so much as interested in our particular issues, okay? Now, we pray on a Wednesday night, pray that people... get help in this situation and in the place that they're at, and we believe in answered prayer, and we've gotten many. You know, we were reminded last Wednesday as to all the different answered prayer to the things that we've been praying of lately. That was great, but God isn't so much interested in our particular issues as much as He is in what's going on in our hearts. Okay, so if you turn to 1 Samuel 16. I Again, keeping your finger maybe in Proverbs 4, if you haven't already memorized the verse. 1 Samuel 16:7. So this is when a new king is being chosen, let's say. People are finding out who God's choice is for the next king after Saul. We all know it's David, but they were surprised at the choice, okay? And Samuel makes a very interesting statement here. Samuel was surprised at the choice. Hang on. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. I believe that's talking about Eliab, is it? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Okay? So God is looking at our hearts, and he's pondering, and he's analyzing, or he's paying attention to what's happening in our heart, okay? Why is that, okay? I'll mention a few kind of practical things, okay? My first statement here is a heart for God is faced in a certain direction, okay? So Psalm 119 has a lot to say about the heart, actually. But a heart for God is faced in a certain direction. That's the statement. It says in Psalm 119:2, if you're there already, it's okay, or if you're not. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Okay, so earlier in the introduction, I mentioned Old Testament kings. You know, if you find yourself reading through the kings, they have certain descriptions. They'll say there was this king after this king, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to what his fathers did. And some statements then, it talks about Asa's, that was a phrase that I got it from. It says his heart was perfect towards the Lord, okay? And these guys aren't perfect in a sense of what we think is perfect is impeccable. It's no fault whatsoever. But when the Bible talks about perfect, it's talking about mature, and it's talking about, complete in God, I guess you could say, okay? And his heart was just for God. The same way we would say about David, he was a man after God's own heart. And we all know David was far from perfect, okay? So your heart can actually be perfect with God this morning, okay? Despite the fact that you're struggling with some issues and things like that, and despite the fact that when you look in your heart, you see all sorts of things, which we all do, okay? Because the Bible says our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But it's what we do about those things, okay? So a heart for God is faced in a certain direction. And, the opposite of that then would be, it said that, or turn to this one, this is interesting, 2 Chronicles 12. All right, so remember talking about the kings here, and it's amazing that their whole life is summed up in two sentences or whatever. This is what God taught of them, blah, you know. And there's a lot of maybe justifications or answers we could give for or against. But anyways, 2 Chronicles 12, and this is Rehoboam, the king who took over after Solomon, okay? What does it say about him here? Yeah, Rehoboam, it says, and he did evil, 2 Chronicles 12:14, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Okay, so this is very interesting, the whole preparation. If you read Ezra as well, he prepared his heart to seek the Lord as well, okay? You can see here anyway, I'll just leave it at that statement or whatever, a heart for God is faced in a certain direction. So God is, God is more interested in what's going on in our hearts, okay? And that's because the second point on that one is what are we allowing to happen inside our hearts every day, okay? So this is things that God is looking at, all right? So as I said, our hearts are wicked or deceitful. The Bible teaches us that kind of thing, but we can make certain choices about that, okay? And God understands our frame. He knows we're but dust. But are we meditating in our heart? Are we meditating on good things? You know, I suppose I could go to Philippians 4:8 for that, think on these things. But I have here down Psalm 19:14. So I'll go there. If you want to turn, it's fine. But this is a prayer. I believe it's David, is it? Yeah. Psalm 19:14 says, this is David speaking. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Okay? So when something comes up in our hearts or whatever and it's not what God would have us to dwell on, we need to, like it says in 2 Corinthians 10, cast down that imagination and bring those thoughts into captivity and put them away and let the right types of thoughts stay. Okay? A lot of things are going to come up in our hearts. We're going to think a lot of different things, okay? This is understandable, but at the same time, we have to make a decision about them, okay? So what are we meditating on in our hearts? And on a similar vein, then, what do we regard in our hearts? So if you think about regard in the way, if you hold something in high regard, okay, you have a lot of respect for it, whatever. So it says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Okay? So what are we regarding in our hearts? This is what the Lord is looking at when he looks at our hearts. Okay? And then there's one, I just took one from the New Testament, Ephesians 4, 31. And this is talking about what's kind of in, it's talking about, the verse before says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. But Ephesians 4, 31 says, let all bitterness, which obviously takes root in our heart, right? And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, so what do we meditate on? What do we regard? And then when we do something we know isn't right, what's our reaction to that? Okay, this is another thing that God is looking at. Do we ignore it? Don't think anything much of it, despite it being not good or not right. Do we tell ourselves, like Saul did, that it wasn't that bad? When Samuel came and he said, what meaneth the bleating of these sheep in mine ears or whatever? And Saul was like, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. He kind of tried to justify it, okay? Or do we just blame somebody else, like Adam did in the garden? What are you doing? Who told you you were naked? What happened? Everybody just seemed to pass the blame around or whatever. And that's easy to do. My kids do that all the time. Someone kicks somebody else and I ask them, why are you kicking? And they're like, well, they were punching, Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So, but we could do the same thing. I it's so funny when it's those little things, when the kids are doing it. But, like that song, I think it's a great description. One of Bruce Fry's songs he has, I don't know if he write it or whatever, but it says, it's talking about a little boy and he uses the phrase, temptations grow up. So the boy grew up and his temptations grew up too, okay? So it's cute in the little kids when they, they have their little this and that and we're trying to work on them and mold their hearts. But when they get older, those heart issues are a lot more hairy with arms and legs and stuff, right? Okay, so what do we do when we know we've done something wrong, I suppose? What do we decide in our hearts, okay? So when we decide in our hearts to go against God's ways, the Bible says we're hardening our hearts towards him, okay? And we're in Proverbs there. Proverbs 28 says, he that hardeneth his heart is a fool, okay? It's a foolish thing to do, okay? And it's also, a fool is someone who forgets God and doesn't acknowledge God, right? So when we go against God's ways, we're hardening our hearts and our hearts become harder and harder. And that's obviously not what we want to do. But when we do the opposite, when we decide to humble ourselves before God, this means our hearts are becoming softer or staying soft, right? And that's what the other word is tender. I was looking up that word. It's just very fascinating. So something is tender. It's just delicate. And I forget now what I actually read, but I'm thinking of Josiah, okay, in 2 Kings. So he was going along doing his thing, whatever. He became king at like 8. And I think he was a teenager by the time. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Some guy found Moses' law, the Shaphan, Shaphan the scribe, excellent. He found the book of Moses, or the book of the law, in the temple, hidden away, and Josiah had it read before him, and he actually, he tore his clothes, and he was in sackcloth and ashes. He was soft and tender when he heard that a lot of the ways that he was living and that his people were living were against God. And I'll go to it there in 2 Kings 22:19. God has a description for him, or says something about it here in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 22:19. Yeah. So as touching the words which thou hast heard, 2 Kings 22:19, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Okay. Yeah, so basically that's his heart reaction there, and he's humbled himself, okay? And so, yeah, talking about what God sees in our hearts and what he's looking for, okay? He wants us to be making decisions for him rather than against him, obviously. We want to have a soft heart towards the Lord, not a hard heart, okay? And if we do change, like we could have a hard heart, and if we decide to soften our hearts, okay, if we're able to be brought to that place, if a change for the better happens in our heart, that can change the course of our whole situation. But not even that, even our whole life, and at best, our whole eternity, okay? So, you know, the Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. All right? Yeah. Mommy there. So I said a lot of things, okay? So if my heart is where it all happens, okay? All of these decisions, God is looking at it, okay? We already established the fact that my heart is deceitful, deceives me, deceives other people. It's desperately wicked. You know, Jesus said, I didn't bring up that other verse, was it Matthew? Out of the heart proceeds all sorts of things, okay? All sorts of wickedness. If that is the case, and I'm supposed to keep, maintain, or guard my heart, and do it, did we read that one? Keep that heart with all diligence, to do it diligently, constantly, carefully, to the best of my ability. You know, I suppose, how much success am I going to have, okay? How much success are you going to have if we have to do... That sounds like a tall order, I suppose. Don't you think? All right. Okay, so I just have a little illustration here. It's great. The story is told of a tribal chief who once came to Dr. David Livingston, missionary to Africa, with this request. He said, please give me some medicine to change my heart. It's so proud, uneasy, and oftentimes angry. So he had seen what the missionary had done for those who were sick in body and had mistakenly concluded that medication would do the same thing for his soul. Livingston then tried to explain that the Lord Jesus alone could bring about the needed transformation in his life, but the man refused to listen, saying, no, no, I want medicine. Well, that was interesting, okay? So this is an Old Testament verse, but we actually have a New Testament answer for it, okay? After the cross, I suppose, this is the way I'm going to describe it. So the New Testament answer is that actually we need Jesus to do the keeping for us. Okay, it's not that we don't have decisions. I'll get onto that. Okay, but everything that really matters, all that heart change and things of that, it's not something that we can do. Okay, we can harden our hearts, we can soften our hearts. Okay, by decisions that we make, but Jesus is the one that does the real changing, and he does the real keeping. Okay, so as an example, Jesus kept, before I was saved, Jesus kept being merciful and compassionate every day, and it's the same for you. His mercies and his compassions are new every morning, okay? And he keeps doing that, all right? So this is him doing the keeping, right? Jesus kept the whole law so that you didn't have to, okay? Jesus was made under the law, okay? It says in Galatians 4. So he has that righteousness that we need, that we don't have, okay? Jesus kept convicting your and my hearts of guilt before God, before we were saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you are saved today, when you called on his name, Jesus kept his promise when he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Okay? And now that we are saved, and I bring a verse from Jude 1. Jude 1:24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So this verse teaches that Jesus will keep us saved. Okay? So there's nothing we can do. You know, we have those verses, nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, you know, neither height nor depth. And another verse, Philippians 1:6 says, he that had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, okay? And we're back to the heart or whatever. Even if our heart struggles, turn to 1 John. 1 John 3, 20. So heart struggles are a real thing. You know, we can know what to do and we can struggle. You know, Paul says, you know, that I would, that I do not, you know, and that I would not, that I do. Okay, so I understand the struggle. I can give you all of this heart stuff this morning and then we can go home and stub our toe on something and then, you know, we're in a wrong frame of mind for the rest of the day. Okay, I understand that these issues are real and, you know, but if we can be working on our heart, that's the root and that can change everything flowing out from it, okay? And hopefully your issues and your situation too. So this one says here, 1 John 3:20, where am I going here? For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, okay? So just, you know, our heart struggles and we think all sorts of different things or whatever, but God is greater than our heart and God can help you and get you through whatever it is that you're going through, okay? Our job is, like it says in the verse, just to stay diligent I suppose the way I could put it is the only keeping that we need to do is to keep staying out of the way of Jesus' good work, okay? Just to be moldable and to be just soft towards his ways so that he can do the work that only he can do, okay? So I have a few verses for that. We need to keep yielding to his ways. Romans 6. I know a lot of Bible verses this morning. There's a lot of verses I want to read when I look at this chapter. So I'll just go to the verse before, 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And then here the yielding, okay? We need to yield to God's ways. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, okay? So when Saul, who is now Paul, whatever that we know, or we call Paul, when he fell down in the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If we had that kind of attitude when we're going through certain situations and we were actually willing to carry through and do what the Lord would have us to do, we'd be in a good place, okay? So other verses say, you know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, okay? So all the basic Christian tools apply here now. So obviously, if we need to keep humbling ourselves, but we also need to pray, okay? So that's why we have the Wednesday night. We get together and we pray as a group, okay? And you remember that description of, was it Rehoboam? He had prepared not his heart to seek the Lord, okay? So, you know, if you find yourself in a certain situation and you haven't already been seeking to walk with the Lord or been seeking his face, it could be hard to get a hold of him, or it could be hard to do the things that we need to do because we're out of practice, okay? But if we're seeking God in prayer, our hearts are prepared. Our hearts are, it's almost like, you know, if you think of gardening or growing something, you need, the soil needs to be prepared. There's a lot that you can do to a lawn, let's say, to keep it in its best state, okay? So the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you, okay? But a lot of time when I get into trouble, like Trevor was mentioning, my battery died yesterday, and then obviously half my family won't be able to get to church then and all that kind of thing. But it was the first thing that I did, a knee-jerk reaction, to pray to God and ask for help. I'm ashamed to say no. All right, I tried to fix the situation, tried to think about what I needed to do, but I should have. And we need to get to that place where our first thing is that we're just praying to God. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be anything major. Just, you know, God, help me in this situation. I just don't know what to do, or I need to try and fix this thing or whatever. Okay, so keep seeking his face in prayer. You know, John the Baptist, his theme or whatever was, I must decrease, he must increase. I forget what it says there in John 3:30, all right? And all of that is basically just denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following, okay? So we all like to do our own thing. Who likes to do their own thing? Who likes to be their own boss, all right? Or who doesn't like the boss that they have? Okay, we all understand that, okay? We want to do our own thing, all right? But That's why it's called dying to self. You die to self and you take up your cross and you do what God says to do. And your heart will follow later, right? So it's not we that need to follow our heart. Our heart needs to follow God's ways, or it needs to follow along. We're dragging it, okay? Pastor would go and he would say, like, that we, when we do things, you know, he uses the word force. I need to force myself to get up. I need to force myself to go to church. I need to do almost like a duty. But he says the heart will follow, and then it won't be all duty anymore. You'll be glad to do it, okay? But it takes the time for the heart to warm up. It's the same in exercise. If you ever did heart rate, whatever you're exerting or whatever at zone 2 and this kind of stuff, and if you start speeding up, you feel okay for a while, but there's a lag in your heart rate, and that goes up. And then when you realize you've gone too far and you slow down, your heart rate stays up there, and it takes time to come down. Sometimes it doesn't come down at all. And it's the same spiritually and stuff. Sometimes we just tend to race ahead, and then we're in a situation we totally don't want to be in, and we can't fix it fast enough, etc., etc., okay? So I mentioned that first, casting down imaginations, okay? And that's a great verse. Just turn to it and read it. It's 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll start wrapping up here now. It's a short message, I know, but this is what the Lord gave me for this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. All right, it's a great chapter. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll just keep reading a bit. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we just... it sounds overly easy, doesn't it, really? Oh, yeah, I just need to cast down imaginations. But try it. Okay. Try it. And you don't, as I said, you know, we can make a good decision and our heart still doesn't feel like, if we're looking for feelings or whatever, our heart doesn't still feel like we're in a good place or in the right place. But remember, your heart will catch up after a while and you'll realize that it was a good decision. Okay. Okay. And obviously, I said about the prayer, obviously, keep feeding yourself with the Word of God, because if you have issues, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Where do you need to go for help with that? To the Lord. But it's, he works through prayer and through his word. Final scripture here, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:12, okay? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow," and here, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Okay? So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not. Okay? So just to sum up or whatever, some of the points or whatever, the heart is where you are the purest form of you. Alright? All the issues we face are born in the heart. God cares most about how we react to what's happening in our hearts, okay? Are we seeking to soften them towards God's ways? Are we hardening them and staying with our own way, okay? Jesus came to do a great work in our hearts if we would only turn to him for help, all right? So, just for the Christian, thank God you're saved and that God has begun a good work in you, which he promises to perform. I mentioned that, until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know, about the preparing of your heart, have you already thanked God today? You know, have you had time, or were you just rushing to get to church? I know sometimes it could be a bit crazy trying to get to church. Trevor was talking about that as well. But sometimes, you know, when we go on in Christianity, maybe we're not growing as we should. Okay, they say familiarity breeds contempt. So have you gotten a little too used to Bible truths? Have you already served in some way today, or has it been a while, you know, that you've done something just especially for the Lord? And if you've drifted, or if you find you've drifted when you look in your heart, you know, this morning you can draw an eye again and you can be right with God. All right, so the Bible encourages us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if you're here and you're not saved, you know, if a Christian needs Christ to live as a Christian should, how much more do unsaved people need Christ, okay? I would go far as saying Jesus can't keep you if you're none of his, okay? But the Bible does say that today is the day of salvation, okay? God is calling, okay? And it says in Ezekiel that he'll give you a new heart, okay? When you look at your heart and you find that it's not what it should be, he can give you a new heart, okay? And for that, and from your heart, all you need to do is simply call on him The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then just go on there, verse 13. Hopefully you've heard this one already. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're not saved, I hope that you would get saved today. All right. So I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this quick time in your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless some of the truths, Lord. And we just go away, Lord, thinking about just being sensitive to what's going on in our hearts, Lord. And as of one of the other verses said, you know, that the meditations of our heart, Lord, might be acceptable in your sight, Lord. And I just pray for those, Lord, who maybe are not sure that they're saved or not, Lord. I pray that they would get assurance today, Lord. And if there's anyone they need to talk to, they could talk to Brother Stewart or anybody, Lord. And we can help them, Lord, just from your word. And just tell them just simply what you say, Lord. So we just pray that you would bless us as we go home. And, of course, be with Pastor Anita. And we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.